Do you ever wonder what goes through a real estate agent's mind when they're driving to show a house to strangers? Most of the time, it's probably pretty mundane stuff, like hoping the clients like the property, maybe thinking about what to make for dinner, and possibly mentally going over their sales pitch. Beverly Carter was probably having those same exact thoughts on September 25th, 2014, when she drove out to show a vacant house in Arkansas. She had no idea she was driving straight into a trap. Beverly was a beloved real estate agent, a wife, and a mother, until one routine house showing turned into every realtor's worst nightmare. What happened that night not only shocked her community, but changed the real estate industry forever. This is the story of trust, danger, and a tragedy that is still talked about today.
It's Friday, and you're listening to MU Minis.
Hey, crime crew, it's Melissa, and I want to welcome you to MU Minis, where every Friday we cover big crimes in a fraction of the time. But don't worry, our full-length deep dive episodes still air every Tuesday on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Our theme this month is Small Town Secrets, so be sure to like and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out. Now let's get into this week's mini. You know that feeling when your spouse is just a little late getting home and you start to worry? That's exactly where Carl Carter's mind went on September 25th, 2014, when his wife Beverly didn't come home for dinner. Beverly was a real estate agent, one of those people who genuinely loved helping families find their perfect home. At 49 years old, she'd been doing it for years and she was damn good at it. She knew the ins and outs of every neighborhood around Cabot, Arkansas, and had that natural ability to make nervous first-time homebuyers feel at ease. That Thursday evening, she was doing what she'd done hundreds of times before, showing a house to potential buyers. Beverly had texted Carl before going inside, saying, "Showing a house now shouldn't be too long." Just a normal, everyday text between a husband and wife, the kind of message you send without thinking twice about it. But Beverly never came home. When Carl drove out to the property and found her car sitting there, with her empty purse inside, her phone tucked away, but no Beverly, he knew something was terribly wrong. Beverly wasn't the type to just vanish. She was responsible. She was reliable. She was the kind of person who called if she was going to be just 5 minutes late. What followed was every family's worst nightmare. For 5 agonizing days, Central Arkansas mobilized to find Beverly. Her real estate colleagues plastered flyers everywhere. Volunteers spent their weekends walking through woods and checking ditches. Her family made tearful pleas on TV, begging whoever had taken her to just let her come home. You could feel the whole community holding its breath, hoping against hope that she was still alive somewhere, waiting to be rescued. Unfortunately, that hope died on September 30th when police found her body in a shallow grave behind an old concrete plant. She'd been bound with duct tape and suffocated, thrown away like garbage by people who saw her as nothing more than a quick payday. The killers turned out to be Aaron Lewis and his estranged wife, Crystal Lowery, two people who looked at Beverly and saw dollar signs instead of a human being. They figured a successful real estate agent must have money, and since she worked alone, she'd be an easy target. It was that simple and that cold and callous. They planned this whole thing out through text messages, talking about kidnapping Beverly like they were planning a grocery run. When the ransom demand didn't work out because Beverly's family wasn't wealthy like they'd originally assumed, they just decided to kill her. She became inconvenient, so they got rid of her. Lewis tried to blame his wife tried to blame him, and both of them acted like they were the real victims. Lewis actually had the nerve to interrupt court proceedings and throw tantrums during his trial, as if he were the one being wronged. Crystal cut a deal and got 30 years. Lewis got life without parole, which is exactly what he deserved. But for Carl and his and Beverly's sons, sitting through that trial meant listening to prosecutors describe in excruciating detail how their wife and mother spent her final moments. No family should have to hear that about someone they love. Beverly's murder changed everything for real estate agents across the country. Suddenly, practices that had seemed perfectly safe for decades, you know, showing homes alone, meeting new clients at properties, it all started feeling so dangerous. Agents started requiring office meetings first, working in pairs, and using GPS tracking apps. Beverly's death became a cautionary tale that spread through the industry like wildfire. And the saddest part? Beverly died doing a job she loved, trying to help what she thought was a young couple find their first home. Her kindness and trust, the very qualities that made her good at her job, were what got her killed. Carl still lives in Cabot and still misses his wife every day. Beverly's story got picked up by Dateline and other shows, but for him, it's not a true crime story. It's the loss of his best friend, his partner, and the woman he was supposed to grow old with. It's a reminder that behind every headline about a local woman murdered is a family whose whole world just got destroyed. Beverly Carter wasn't just a victim, she was someone's everything. Beverly Carter's story is both heartbreaking and eye-opening, reminding us how important safety and awareness are in everyday life. What are your thoughts on this case? Share your perspective in the comments below, whether it's how the story impacted you, ideas on improving safety, or simply words of support for Beverly's family and the real estate community. That's all for this week's MU Mini. Tune in on Tuesday for our next full-length episode, and until then, stay safe, stay curious, stay unscripted.